Man, I missed you guys last week, but man, wasn't Paul, didn't he do a great job? Just bringing word. Thank you, Paul. Yes. Man, love listening to Paul just bring the scriptures and bring that genuine heart that he has. And so this week we're starting a new series. We are walking through the book of Mark. And so we're going to read every verse from the book of Mark from this stage as we go throughout. And we're going to finish the book of Mark on Resurrection Sunday, April 4th. So we're going to be marching through it. Man, I encourage you when you're home throughout the week, just start just diving in. Just let it just wash over you. Reading through the Gospels, we'll be referencing all kinds of things about Jesus' life as we go through it. And we're specifically zooming in on a series called Prepared, where we're going to basically try to prepare you for the journey that we're going on, preparing you for the adventure that it is to truly follow Jesus. And so I want you to picture your heart and your mind as a backpack, right? If you see me out in the world barefoot or maybe having to wear flip-flops because, you know, some places don't like you being barefoot in their store, then you're going to see me with this backpack because it pretty much has everything that I need to function with in the backpack. It's got my Bob Ross wallet in there. It's got my Bible in there. It's got all kinds of things. And it also has a bunch of different little tags on there. And this one says, pray more. Right now, and this one says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Need that one maybe in the front of my backpack sometimes. You know, this one says, more like Jesus, right? So it has all these different little references and meanings to me. So as I'm going through the day, this one is tied on by a girl in Romania who accepted the Lord last summer on mission trip. We were the red team. And so every time these different people accepted the Lord, I wrote them on there so I could be praying for Emily, and of course they say it a lot cooler in Romanian, but I just call her Emily, and Amy, and these different people. So it just has different significances for me as I go through my week. But I want you to think about your heart and your mind. What are some things that you need to pack away for your journey, for the adventure that it is to follow Jesus? Because if you couldn't tell, the stage has changed, right? Last week we were in a prayer mode and deep prayer, and it was just an awesome time of just reflecting the Lord. Today, we're going on a journey. And when I think about adventure and I think about a journey, I think about a trip that I took back in 2005 and 2007 in the mountains of Colorado, in the San Juan Mountains right outside of Durango. We hiked a 50-mile loop out in the mountains. And when you hike out in the mountains, how many of you have been hiking before? Like, how many of you have been really hiking? Where you have no, you're not getting back that day. You're a six-day journey out, around, you're not going to see anyone except for the people that you're with for at least 6 days. There's no electricity, there's no food, there's no water. You got to pack it all on the back in a big backpack like this. And so, but when you go to those places, you see things that you've never seen before. Now, I know this picture is not going to do it justice because, you know, it's a picture, and it was 2005 back when you had to take a picture like this, and then you're like, wind it up, right, and then you take it somewhere, and they give you the photos like a couple weeks later, but this is from one of the mountain passes that we're looking. There's a lake over here on the right, and just being able to look out for miles and miles and miles. Here's another picture. This is Kite Lake. You have to hike 25 miles to get to it. It's 25 miles from anything remotely a civilization. Just incredible glacier water that flows in through the summer as well. And just so you'll know that I didn't just Google all these pictures. Here's a picture of me with a backpack on actually in some of those places. And we'll show you even more pictures of me kind of as we go. But we're going to kind of take our walk with Christ sort of like this journey and say, what are some tools, what are some things that we need to pack in our mind and our heart to be able to walk this walk of Jesus Christ? And the first thing that you have to do before you go on a hiking trip like this is you have to pack up. You have to get prepared. You can't just decide one day I'm going to walk 60 miles up 2,000-foot peaks and these different things. You've got to actually prepare and get ready. So each week I'm going to give you a different little tool to put in your heart and your mind to be able to help you with your walk with Christ. So today we're talking about the GPS, the map. Because believe it or not, when you get in the mountains, there aren't signs. You can't turn left to the McDonald's. There is no McDonald's. Every tree begins to look the same. You're in an aspen forest, and everything just looks like the same. White trees with cool leaves, and every mountain looks the same. And you have to start deciding, okay, how am I going to follow this? You need a guide. You need something to help you when you don't know whether to go left or to go right at this little tiny trail that you're following. You need help in that GPS. You need someone to be your guide. And so today we're talking about Jesus's GPS, his first the one that prepared the way for him. We're talking about a guy named John the Baptist, right? The guy that said, less of me, more of you, that we sang the song kind of about his testimony. We're going to dive into kind of a study of John's life and how that can apply to us. So we are in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we could preach a whole sermon on these topics, but remember, we're walking all the way through the book of Mark. So we're going to hit exactly what the gospel means. We're going to hit what it means for Jesus to be called the Son of God as we go throughout the study. So we may be skipping over a few things as we go because we're going to be here for a while. It says in verse 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face. Now, this might just be me, but I just love the phrasing of this. It's right in your face. Like, he's sending John the Baptist in your face. He's not like over here where you can, or it's like, it's right here. You can't miss it. That John the Baptist was the kind of person who stepped to the forefront that you couldn't ignore. You had to have an opinion about him. And his opinion was, get ready, because one is coming that's greater than me. All right, so behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, John Mark, as he's writing this down, as Peter's giving him his account of the gospel, most people believe that Peter is kind of talking to John Mark, who's writing it down. He actually combines two verses here. One is Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. That's the first part of the verse. And here's what Malachi 3:1 says if you were to look back. And remember, there's been 400 years of silence before Jesus came. The last prophet that they heard of was Malachi. And in chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So John is this messenger coming, and what's coming after this messenger? The Lord. He's coming into the temple. He's coming to proclaim the day of the Lord. And we know that to be Jesus, who we sing about and why we meet here every week. So John's job was to prepare the way. And by the way, I would say your job is to prepare the way for people to hear about Jesus. That's your testimony. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. Right. The second part of this verse is from Isaiah 40, verse 3, where he talks about, you will, the voice of the one crying in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. This is who John the Baptist was. Now, it's really tempting when you're reading stories through the Bible, and I wanted to get this out of the way really early in the book of Mark. When you're reading the Bible, it's really easy to read it like an app on a phone, or like your text messages are read to you. For example, this is sometimes how we read the Bible. We're at home, and we're having our quiet time. We get our Bible out, and we're sitting there, and we're like, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, in all the country of Judea and Jerusalem, and going out to him, and we're being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And this tends to be the voice by which we read the Bible, this monotone, kind of boring voice, and that no wonder we don't want to read the Bible because it's just not that exciting when we read it that way. But have you ever realized that the Gospels are a story? Like, this is God's story to you. Like, for example, we're going to go into Matthew chapter 3. And I want to read the same account from Matthew's perspective because he gives us a little bit more about who John is and the types of things that John would say. And when you read it, I want you to imagine the picture. Imagine the scene that's before you, that this is an actual event that happened, that there was really a John the Baptist. There's no doubt that there was a John the Baptist. Josephus and other writers in the New Testament, the new centuries right after Jesus, they wrote about him. So we know this is a historical figure, that these things actually happen. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do you think he said that? He didn't have a microphone like me, right? Can you imagine John? camel hair, wild, crazy, eating locust, crunching on them, got a little wild honey, a little sticky, and he's out there, and he's like, repent! The kingdom of the Lord is at hand. Repent! Talking to y'all in the back. Repent! He's crying out in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. This is John the Baptist. He's crying out. I'm just imagining these wild eyes. He's just looking you right in the eye like, repent! He's just calling it out. Get ready! Jesus is coming. Is that the picture you have of John the Baptist? You don't have the picture of him sitting on the log, right? Legs crossed, sitting there just saying something. You see this passion in him, right? And then it echoes what we read again. It says, for he is the one spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now John wore garments of camel hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So everybody is coming out to see what's going on, and they're coming out. And here's John walking down into the water, and he's like, repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is here. Mike, you're first. Come on down. And here comes Mike down the front, and it says, what are they doing here? Confessing their sins. Say, Mike, what do you want to be forgiven of? This is some church now, right? Man, I want to be forgiven because I'm a liar. I'm a liar. John's like, God, forgive him. Dunk him. Who's next? Who's next, right? Who's coming up next? Come on. I struggle with pornography. You're forgiven. Right? Bring it in there. Oh, I struggle with this. And can you imagine church? Like, I'll get the baptism out right now. We want to start it. Let's go, right? You come down, you're just like, I give it up to the Lord. And we're like, right? Good news. Jesus forgives all of that, right? The ones from the past and the ones from the future. This is John. He's saying, confess your sins and you'll be forgiven. He's replacing the sacrificial system, right? Leviticus 1 through 10 just starts laying out these different ways of sacrifice. And here comes John. Picture of the death and the resurrection. The old you is dead. The new you is coming. He's setting the stage for Jesus and the resurrection in this beautiful way. But he's fierce. It's different. It's this in your face. Be different for me, right? And here he is. John's just calling out people. And look what happens next in verse 7. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come into his baptism, he said to them, now here comes this group of people, right? And they look up and they're like, hey, come on down. They're like, don't need to. Imagine this scene. Again, imagine with me. Y'all are confessing your deepest, darkest things to give them to God and to be forgiven completely. And here comes someone going, I don't need it. I tithe my salt and pepper. I give everything. Like I'm clean. I don't have sin. Those people are out there, and here's John answering them, right? And he's like, you brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. No, you brood of vipers, right? He is calling them out and he's saying, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Don't presume that just because you were born into Israel that you are saved. I can raise up children from the rocks. God can do whatever he wants to do. Are you ready to repent? For the kingdom of God is coming. Are you ready for Jesus? That's what he's saying. Even now, verse 10, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. This is the original fire and brimstone speech right here. If you aren't going to bear fruit with repentance, you're going to burn in eternal judgment. If you're not willing to lay down your sin and be made new, if you're not willing to chase and follow this person that's to come, this Jesus, your end is not good. Your eternity is not set. I know you think you have all these righteous deeds and you think you have all of these works that are going to save you. They don't save you. There's only one who saves you, and that's the one who's coming after me. And this is John's message to them. He says in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That there is a judgment coming. And unless you have Jesus, your works are never going to be good enough. That's John's message of repentance. He's like, come, share, be new. And that's God's call to you every day, right? Take up our cross daily. Follow him day by day. We lay down our sins before him. We confess our sins for healing. That's the calling of John. That's the calling that we have to be ready to make as well. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to confess our sins? Are we ready to be different and be new day by day? You know, one of the things that was so interesting about John the Baptist is he was so unique. He was different. Like, that's one of the things I want you to write down, right? That John's life was unique. It was like nothing that people had seen before. It was them imagining what the prophets of old would have been like. And here is John coming out of the desert proclaiming the day of the Lord. And here's what's interesting about unique people have unique stories. Do you realize that you're unique? Each one of you has a story that none of the rest of us have. Each one of you have grown up with experiences that none of us have. You have stories. Some of you grew up in a great Christian home that has led you to the Lord. Some of you grew up in just horrific circumstances, and somehow God rescued you. Every one of you have a unique story. Tell that story. We have a world who wants to kind of make us all the same instead of celebrating the uniqueness that we have in God. The unique story that you can tell to reach people's heart that I can't tell them. You have a testimony. Are you ready to be different? Like, we don't want to send you out of here being a cookie cutter, like, fellowship robot that goes in the world like, Jesus loves you, right? And this goes around in the next place. You are unique. The body has different parts, right? We're supposed to be the body of Christ. We can't all be the same. We can't all be the hand. We can't all be the eye. We got to be different. We got to celebrate the fact that we all are different. We all have a story. But you got to be willing to tell that story. You got to be willing to listen to that story. You got to be able to hear one another as we share who we are in Christ. And here's what's interesting about John, right? His unique character, like who he was, the very being of who he was a testimony. And that testimony, it challenged the status quo. John didn't have to try to challenge people. Just who he was a challenge to the Pharisees. Just the way that he lived made other people take notice of what's going on in this place. So you, as you live a life unique, it's going to be a challenge to the people around you wherever you go. And there's going to be a temptation in you to try to fit in, right? There'll be a temptation, oh no, you know, I'm barefoot up here, but you know, some people don't like me being barefoot, so let me put some shoes on real quick. And whew, okay, good. Oh, man, they look so fashionable up here. Like, I better make sure I want to look good up here. Like, oh wait, no, I want to look cool. Okay, good, all right, awesome. Oh wait, no hats in church, get rid of that, you know? Like, oh, but these people really like when I'm barefoot. Okay, whew, what am I gonna do this? If you get socially tired, it might be because you're trying to be everything to everybody instead of just being who God made you to be. Now listen, we don't stay here who we are because Jesus is over there and we're following him, right? And so we wanna be more like Jesus, and he's gonna craft us in a unique way to be exactly who he created us to be. And to give us opportunities to share that story wherever we go. Who are you in Christ? Be that. How did God gift you? What talents do you have that you can use for the Lord? Find a way to use those gifts for the glory of the Lord. John was a glaring example of that unique lifestyle that just changed people. But you know why we don't do that? We're scared of messing up. We just are. When we put ourselves out there, it can be scary that we're going to mess up and we're going to ruin the whole witness that we've been building for so long. Guys, we all mess up. You know, I remember back in when I was a youth pastor for 25 years before I started preaching to you, so I've had a lot of experience with youth. And we went to a camp one time in St. Louis, Missouri, a Fuge camp, and it was just an incredible camp. Kind of what we're talking about here, just happened. The Holy Spirit just fell on our group. And if you've never been to Fuge Camp, you don't understand what like cry night is, where everybody, like the Holy Spirit's been working on you. All of a sudden, it's like John the Baptist was there, because they're like, I struggle with this. And everybody's like loving on them. And there's just every sin that you could imagine that these kids go through today. Be praying for our teenagers, the pressures that are on them, that they're two clicks away from horrific things, the pressure that they're under. You need to be praying for them all the time, every day. And they're just sharing these things out of their heart, and just an incredible, you would be amazed at the things that you hear that come out of these youth kids, that they're just pouring out to the Lord. And it was just this incredible camp. I mean, people came to know the Lord. People were healed of abuse. People were healed of these things, and God had given them freedom. And so we leave on that Friday, getting ready to drive home from St. Louis all the way back to Kyle, and we're just on the Jesus high. We're just going, right? And back in the day, there wasn't like the little blue dot. You know, on your map thing, you got the little blue dot. There were paper maps. Everybody remember paper maps where you had to pull them out, and they're as big as your windshield, which makes no sense, right? Or you have that Rand McNally book that you flip through and the cities. Anyway, and so we just start driving, and we're just praising the Lord. We're talking, and we get there, and all of a sudden it says, Illinois state line. I drove an hour and a half out of Missouri into a state on the other, the wrong way. An hour and a half the wrong way. And we're like, Illinois? Tara, where are you? Where are we? Pull off the road. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, right? Everything in me want to go, oh, I can't believe it. It was so dumb. But I'm the youth pastor with 40 kids. So I'm like, God has a plan. He's got to play. You know, like, that's the right answer. But in your mind, you're like, oh, why did I do this? Right? Pride, that killer of everything, comes in. I'm just like, oh. So I'm driving again past the same stores, the same exits, going, I'm still an hour away from where we started, right? And everything in me is, oh. And they're just talking about Jesus. They don't care. We're youth. We're on a trip. Woo! We're having a great time. And I gradually have to just let it go, right? I have to basically just start letting myself be renewed by the Lord and start praying and start just, and they just grab a guitar and they're like, this is just more time for us to worship. I'm like, yeah, more time to worship. It's great. Like, that's just, I'm just being honest. I mean real, okay? It just is there. But gradually they keep singing songs. We're light of the world. Here I'm to work. I mean, all those songs, there weren't as many songs back then to sing. We kept singing the same ones over and over again. And it was just one of those times that gradually the Lord started moving our heart. And then we had this experience with the Lord. It's just one of those, I'm sure we're just seeing what we want to see in it. But there's a picture. I brought a picture for you because we took this picture, and we called it the hand of God. Because we were just singing to the Lord, and of course, we're 3 hours behind schedule, so we're going to be driving through the night. So we hit the sunset, and this picture just came up. It just looked like God was showing, like, I'm the light of the world, right? We're singing, light of the world, you come down. Right? We're singing on this darkness, because I'm like, yeah, darkness is coming, because I went the wrong way. And God's just like, look, I'm the light of the world. Where else would you rather be than singing praises to me? Would you rather be sitting in some church, sleeping on the floor, or just singing praises as we go, right? And the Lord has a way. Yes? He has a way of kind of getting you in the place that he wants you to be, even when you don't really want to be there. Even through our mistakes, God's big enough to handle those. Even who I am and my own flawed self, God just said, hey, I'm bigger than that. And there was some serious praise going on. As we looked out the window, we're like, God is real. God is this thing that we can't even imagine. He cares about us, and he loves us. Could have just been some clouds. Plane flew by. Could have been whatever you want to explain. But to us, it was God speaking. Right? Are we willing to U-turn, repent, and put ourselves in a position to experience God in his fullness? And the power of that. Why do we not want to U-turn? Why do we not want to come down front and confess our sins to one another? Pride. That's the next blank I want you to write down. The number one challenge to you being a trailblazer for the Lord, someone that just prepares the way to make more of Jesus, the number one challenge is your pride. It's hard to lay it down. I just confessed, I'm right here with you, right? The cure to that is what we call meekness. The cure is this idea of meekness. Now, what is meekness? Now, meekness is this cool word. A lot of people want to call it weak. It's not weak. It's meek, meaning that you have this confidence, but you balance it with humility. That you know who you are in Christ. You know who he is. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know that he has made you in this incredible way. And then you just rest in that to where you don't have to be quick to speak. You can be slow to speak and slow to become angry. It's like Jesus when they cut off, Peter grabs a sword, cuts off the ear, and he's like, Peter, you don't think I could call a legion of angels to come protect me right now? For the joy set before me, I'm going to endure the cross, despise and shame, because I love my people, right? I'm going to die for them. When Jesus is on the cross, and they're like, hey, if you were the Christ, jump off and save yourself. You know Jesus could have gone, hey, what's up? But he didn't, right? He chose to die for us, right? Jesus chose to wash their feet. We sang about it a second ago, right? He chose to wash their feet. He didn't think of equality with God, something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, becoming the very form of a servant to serve. That is meekness, knowing that you have the power to speak everything into existence and yet choosing to walk as we walk, to be that perfect guide, a perfect example for us. So how can we get a heart of meekness? How can we live unique and meek together? It starts with humility. It starts with humility. That we have to learn that we are servants of the Lord our God. Right? So let's look at an example of that. In Matthew chapter 11, we see Jesus giving a testimony about John. Right? And he begins to speak these words about who John is. And you have to understand that you are amazing. You've been made by God in incredible ways. Look what Jesus says about John. This is Jesus' testimony. He says, and when they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? He's talking to people. What did you go out to see? What did you think John the Baptist was? Was he a reed shaken by the wind? Like when you think about John the Baptist, do you think he was swayed by the opinions of people? No, right? Was he shaken by the wind? No. What did you go out to see then? Is what he says next, right? And there's what he says. A man dressed in soft clothing? He's like, did you go out to see John because he was so well dressed? No, right? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's house. Who did you go out to see then? A prophet? Do you think he was speaking the words of God, because he kept speaking about me, right? He says, yes, I tell you, a prophet, but even more than that, right? He says that basically the idea that no one has been born of a woman that has been greater than John, right? Look what he says next. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there arises no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That John the Baptist was the best. Yet if you have the Holy Spirit, that if you are a child of God, you are even greater than he. Because you have God living inside of you. Because remember what he said. John baptized for repentance. Who is Christ going to baptize us with? He's going to give us the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in us and empower us to do his work in the world that we live in. This is the testimony about John. But look what he says in Mark chapter 1. Look at what this testimony says about him. He said, proclaiming, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. The greatest man born says, I'm not even worthy to touch Jesus' feet. I can't even be the guy that just double knots his sandals. Like, I'm just even below that. That's how much greater Jesus is than I am. Do we have that view? Are we willing to lay down our life? Are we willing to lay down our agenda for the sake of Jesus? Here's the next thing to write down. Are you willing to lay down your agenda for the sake of Christ? Now, we understand this. If I was sitting at home watching a movie on TV, right, and my daughter comes in crying because of something happened their day, and I just kept watching a movie because my agenda was I wanted to watch a movie, would that be a loving father? Would that be loving at all? No, I would lay down my agenda to go love on my daughter. Right? Someone calls me in the middle of the night because something horrible has happened to their family. Am I like, yeah, I'm kind of tired? Or do you get out of bed and go minister and love on that person? You lay down your agenda for the sake of Christ. But listen, do we do that day by day? When you wake up in the morning, do we lay down our agenda for the sake of Christ? Every day, right? Take up your cross daily. Paul said it last week. It's this Jesus thing is a daily thing, right? I mean, that's the challenge of it. I think there's a greater picture even in John chapter 3. If you want to turn there with us, John 3, John the Baptist has been baptizing, right? And John the Baptist, people from all over are coming to him to see him. But then Jesus bursts on the scene. And guess what? John the Baptist's vibrant ministry of baptism is now losing to Christ, who is healing and walking in power. And people are leaving John the Baptist to go follow Jesus. And that bothers some of John's followers. He's like, why are you not doing more to keep people from going to follow Jesus? And this is his testimony about that in John chapter 3. Right? He says this. They came to John and said, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. But here's what John's response to them was. John said, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. In other words, his whole ministry was given to him by Christ. You yourselves bear me witness. I am not the Christ. I have been sent before him. Right? The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Guys, we're the friend of Jesus. We can't save, but I can introduce you to someone who can. My friend, Jesus, right? Who stands and hears him. He rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Listen to me, church. You want to be a witness for Jesus. I'm going to tell you a very simple GPS way. Celebrate other people when they're better than you. There you go. You want to be a witness for Christ, celebrate other people when they're better than you, even if they beat you. That's so counter to our world today. That is all about me and all about self. If I can celebrate that people are smarter than me and that they're better than me, then I am humble enough to accept what the Lord has. Because it's not about us. It's about him, right? So we have to have that heart to celebrate other people's successes. That is counter to our culture. That'll be something that leads people towards, why do you have this heart and this attitude? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That's a really hard thing for someone like me to say because I'm really competitive. Some of y'all know exactly how competitive I am. For me to say, no, I think it's awesome that God's done that in you. And then this verse is my GPS. Remember earlier I was talking about our backpack and what is the GPS? When you get to that crossroad and there's a right and a left and you don't know where to go and you don't know, you've lost your bearings, you got to go to this thing that's saying, this is the direction that you need to go. My GPS is this verse right here. He must increase and I must decrease. John's testimony about Jesus, that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. This is what I have written on my arm. This is basically my life testimony that when I come to a choice, do I want to chase after this dream in coaching or chase after God, I'm going to choose God because it makes more of him, less of me. When I make a choice between should I do this thing that is just really fun or should I do this thing that's going to bring someone closer to Jesus, I'm going to choose this thing because he must become greater, I must become less. That's my GPS. Because when I lose my bearings and I get in a situation that I don't really know what to do, how can I bring more glory to Christ with the way that I handle this situation? It's my guide. Now, there's a lot of times you can walk through the knowledge and the truth of God because you know the way. Are you ready to make more of Christ? Because listen, what's pride do? It fills you up, and then there's only a little bit of room for Jesus. Humility empties yourself where God can fill you more. So as you decrease, God will fill in the gaps with his truth. So man, I want to encourage you this week, as you walk through the week, there's going to be opportunities you have to turn left or turn right. There's choices you're going to make between, do I post this or not post this? Do I say that? Do I defend myself, or do I wait for the Lord to be my defender? Do I do this? Do I do that? You're going to have those choices. And here's my encouragement to you. Think about this verse. Make less of me and more of Jesus. Is this what I'm going to do here going to bring glory to Christ? I'm going to go that way. Is this going to bring more glory to me? Maybe not. That's our encouragement for this week. Okay? Put that tool in your backpack, in your heart and your mind, and bring it with you this week as you walk throughout. Okay, I want to give us a time, just a time to pray, all right? I pray that the Lord will do something and stir something in us this week. So with the people that are around you, I just want to encourage you to pray with them. All right, if someone, no one's around you, Josh or one of the other guys would love to just pray with you. There's an awesome person right here, Josh, that might want to pray with you. It's his wife, right? But man, I want to encourage you to pray with your family, and then I'll close this in a time of prayer. Okay, so if you just pray with the people that are around you, and Sam's going to play a couple notes on the piano back there, and then I'll close this in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Jesus, we thank you that you are worthy. Lord, just as we sang earlier, Lord, your glory will fill the temple. Lord, you are an amazing God. And I thank you, Lord, that by making more of you, Lord, our world will be changed. As we go into the world and as we try to walk in our own power, Lord, we're going to trip, we're going to fall, we're going to stumble. But Lord, with you, you are the light of the world. You are the one who upholds us with your right hand, Lord. We cling to you. I pray over each family, Lord, this week that we will purposely spend time with you, that we will be a testimony, we'll live differently. Just as John the Baptist, Lord, had a testimony. Lord, I pray that this week we'll have an opportunity to share our story with other people, whether it's through Path Group or through our people at work, Lord, in the grocery store, wherever it might be, Lord, that we can tell the story of how amazing and how good you are. Thank you, Lord, for a picture of that with John the Baptist, who lived a life that pointed to you. Help us to live a life that points to you as well. Lord, we praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.